The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 9, text number 12, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on November 7th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text number 12. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mogasya mogakarmano mogagyana vichetasaha rakshasimmasarim jaiva prakatim mohinim shrita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation and their fruitive activities and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Absolute Truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive, pious activities, and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement, will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of illusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads, is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded, because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yoveti bhautikam dehang krishnasya paramatmanah sarasavasmad bahishkarya shrota smarata vidanatah mukam tasya valokyapi sachelam snanam acharet. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all the rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. And if one by chance sees his face, one should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, at the present moment, the entire world is in a deluded condition. That condition is described in the previous verse. Avajanonti mangmudha manushing tandam ashritam parang bhavam majananto mamabhuta maheshvaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So, a world which does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord is a bewildered, deluded world. Even if they believe in God, if they don't accept that Krishna is God, then they are deluded. And it is further confirmed by Krishna Das Kaviraj. If they don't accept that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Lord, they are demons. So just consider what is the position of the modern day society. How bewildered, how deluded, how atheistic they actually are. So what does Krishna say about them in their present state? Three things. In three areas, they have no hope. They have no hope for liberation. That means all the claims of the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews about going to heaven are completely bogus. Or the Mayavadis thinking they'll merge into Brahman. In this age, you see, they're too demoniac. Their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, that means their economic development. We see how much difficulty, how much poverty there is in the world. And how all of this economic development that some people have gotten is simply polluting the whole planet. So they're being baffled in their fruit of activities because they're not Krishna conscious. And their culture of knowledge also. What is their present-day culture of knowledge? They call it science. But they're completely in a state of illusion. They take Charles Darwin as their guru. Someone who doesn't know a monkey from a human being. They take him as their guru. You see. Charles Darwin says we come from the monkeys. We accept that Charles Darwin comes from the monkeys. But we come from the line of the great sages, Vedavyas. We are a different species. So, it's useless, it's hopeless. Their society will never be successful. Impossible, they will not be successful. Krishna guarantees, it's hopeless. Prabhupada even points out in the purport, there are devotees who think they are Krishna conscious, but they really don't accept the supremacy of Krishna. They're also in a hopeless position. We're having a good laugh about the karmis. We have to be sober also and realize, well, do I really accept the supremacy of Krishna, or is this just a little game I'm playing? Do I really accept that Krishna is the Supreme? Am I really prepared to do anything he asked me to do? See, Arjuna thought he was in pretty good position. He thought he was pretty good shape spiritually. But then his Krishna consciousness was put to the test on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna failed the test. He wasn't up to par. So who do we compare to Arjuna? Will we be able to pass every test? We have to be sober. We can have a good laugh at the foolishness of the karmis, that's all right. But at the same time, we have to realize there is a karmi right here in my heart, you see. Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava pichtami tvang dharma samuddhacheta yat shreyan syan nishchitang bruhitan me shishyashtehang shadimang tvam prapanam. We have to come to the position of Arjuna and humbly submit ourselves to Krishna. And if Krishna is not personally present, we have to humbly submit ourselves to his representative. The bona fide spiritual master. That will get us out of our bewildered condition. That will get us out of our confused state of consciousness. That will bring us to the position where our hopes for liberation, our fruitive activities, and our culture of knowledge will all be successful. Do you know that verse? Mukham karoti vachalam pangum lam yagategadam yat kripa tamahang vande shri guru dina taranam. You see, by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. What does it say? Mukam karoti vachalam. Mukha means even the person who can't speak. By the mercy of Guru, he can deliver eloquent speeches. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum lam yagate gidim. Pangum means a lame man. Girim means it's like Giri, Giri Raj, Giri Dhari. Giri means mountain, you see. Girim, same thing. So, the lame man can cross over a mountain by the mercy of the spiritual master. So in this way, we have to understand how much we are dependent on taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. By doing that, we will become empowered. If we think that I can practice Krishna consciousness on my own, without Guru, we will be baffled. Mogasha, our hope for liberation will be baffled. That's a fact. As we say in English, smashed to smithereens. It means obliterated, wiped out, destroyed. So we have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That's how Prabhupada trained us. We have actually Guru Puja twice a day in ISKCON. At Mangal Arati, we sing Gurvastakam prayer, meditating on the spiritual master. And then at the end of, near the end of the morning program again, the Sri Guru Charana Padma prayer. It's so important to have that relationship with spiritual master. Because that's what connects us. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasheo vidu. This knowledge was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples that we should become spiritual masters. He said, when you are mature, it is better that you become a spirit, you become spiritual masters. He told us. So what is that maturity? That is described by Rupa Goswami. Vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara upastha vegam, etan vitanyo vishahet dira sarvam apimam prithivim shishishya. One who can conquer over mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So Prabhupada explains, when one's guru is present on the planet, one does not make disciples for oneself. One takes all these students to the spiritual master to become his disciples. If one wants to become prematurely a guru in the presence of one's spiritual master, that is aparad. But after the departure of one's spiritual master, then Prabhupada said it is better to become acharya when you are mature. We have some on this planet now. There is a group of people, they call themselves IRM, ISKCON Reform Movement.
В момента на земята имаме така група от хора, които наричат себе си
They say that Prabhupada is the final acharya in the specific line. There's no one after him. In other words, the disciplic succession stops with Prabhupada. Just like we can calculate from Lord Chaitanya, for example. If we calculate Chaitanya Sampradaya, you see, Lord Chaitanya, he would be position number one. And then Rupa Goswami, he and others are in position number two. And then Raghunath Goswami and others in position number three. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, position number four. Narottam Das Thakur, position number five. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, position number six. Jagannath Das Babaji, position number 7. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, position number 8. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, position number 9. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, position number 10. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj, position number 11. From Lord Chaitanya, position number 11. So according to the IRM people, that's it. After number 11, it comes to an end. Stop at 11. But you know what Prabhupada said in Los Angeles? He said, I am a number 11, he said, and you are number 12. He told us directly, you, to his disciples, he said, you are number 12. So how these IRM people can say it stops at number 11? When Srila Prabhupada specifically said, you are number 12. That means they are contradicting they are saying that Prabhupada is wrong. They are saying that Prabhupada doesn't know what he's talking about. And they claim to be the true followers of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, their hopes for liberation, Mogasha. You see? The Ritvik people, Mogasha, they are also described in this verse. Mogasha, their hopes of liberation are finished. They are denying the teachings of Prabhupada. So we have to know what are Prabhupada's teachings. We have to follow his teachings. So how will you learn? Well, the books are there. Read the books and understand what the teachings are in the books. And then, since Prabhupada says we can't be Krishna conscious outside of the society of devotees that he had created, we need to find people who are following Prabhupada's books. As they are, without changing the meaning. And we have to take shelter of that Sangha, that association. So those people who are strictly following the instructions of Prabhupada, they're known as ISKCON. ISKCON is a worldwide family of devotees who are following these instructions.
ISKCON is a worldwide family of devotees who are following these instructions.
Now, there are varying degrees. The advanced devotees follow them more expertly than the neophytes. That's a thing. But what can we do? We all have to go through the neophyte stage as we gradually learn. So we have to find advanced devotees, and we have to take shelter of those advanced devotees. That will help us to advance quickly along the pathway. So if you want to become, if you want to advance from the neophyte platform to the advanced platform, then there's three things you have to take advantage of. Of course, you may say, I like being a neophyte, I'd rather just remain a neophyte. Someone might argue that way. Why should I become advanced? I maybe have more duties than I can take it easy and just remain neophyte. But I can tell you it's worth being advanced. Because the more you advance, the more you taste the nectar. The three modes of material nature are there, and it's like it's a rough ride when you're in the modes. Just like sometimes on the airplane, we hit turbulence. And the announcement comes on, all passengers must now fasten their seatbelts, you see, because it becomes very turbulent. But then the pilot, he takes it up to a higher elevation, you see. He gets permission from the flight controllers so he doesn't, you know, violate and have a crash with another airliner who's on a higher level. He goes higher than the turbulence. So neophyte devotee means you're still in the modes. You're still experiencing the turbulence. But advanced devotee means we come out of that turbulence into a very wonderful, serene, calm, Krishna conscious existence. That becomes ever increasingly sweet. Ever increasingly sublime. Ever increasingly ecstatic. An exciting, thrilling adventure at every second. From the moment when you wake up in the morning, no later than 4 a.m., to the moment when you take rest at night. And then your dreams will also be exciting adventures of Krishna consciousness. Even when you're working a job, you'll be doing an expert job externally, but in your heart you'll be Krishna conscious. So in this way, to become advanced is really worth it. You can taste the sweetest nectar in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So there are three things you have to take shelter of to become an advanced devotee. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. Guru means you have to follow Rupa Goswami's five main points of bhakti. The five main points of bhakti given by Rupa Goswami are: one, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Two, get initiated and instructed by him. Three, obey those instructions. Four, learn from him how to serve the previous acharyas, like Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, etc. And number five, you have to inquire from him how to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the first item, guru. The second item, that is the sadhus, the devotees. You have to associate with those devotees who are loyal to Srila Prabhupada. Even if you sometimes disagree with them, you don't always get along with them perfectly well. Don't we remain with our material family members, even though we sometimes disagree and have a little arguments? Don't the husband and wife sometimes fight? But do they divorce just because they had a fight? No. Because they are dedicated to the principle of being husband and wife, even if there is sometimes a fight. So in the same way, we must be dedicated to the ISKCON family, even if sometimes we have fight. And we must associate on the basis of the instructions given by Srila Rupa Goswami. The six loving exchanges. I give you a gift, you give me a gift. I give you some prasadam, you give me prasadam. I reveal my heart to you and I listen to you and you reveal your heart to me. These are the six kinds of loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami for devotees to associate together. And the third item is Shastra. Prabhupada's books are here, you see, the perfect Shastra. We have to read them thoroughly every day. We must study Prabhupada's books. We must study them, we must live them, and we must distribute them. So in this way, if we take the shelter of Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra, then we will advance beyond the neophyte platform, on which level our hopes for liberation, our fruit of activities, and our culture of knowledge is defeated. And we will come to the advanced stage where everything becomes successful. Whatever Prabhupada did, he was successful. Of course, there was a few setbacks. But, in other words, sometimes even as highly successful Vaishnava, it's like in a war, you may lose some battles. But as long as you win the war, it's okay. So Prabhupada did lose a few battles here and then. Like in Jhansi with the League of Devotees. That didn't work out. Did Prabhupada just give up his idea of preaching when he failed in Jhansi? No, he tried to understand what was the plan of the Lord. It was the plan of the Lord that he wouldn't base his movement in India. It was Krishna's plan, he would base it in America. It was the American devotees who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world under Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada Prabhupada always said how the America, all over the world, people look to America for an example of material advancement, you see. Even today, they're still doing them. Whatever fashions the American youth wear, the youth all over the world follow the American youth. Even the Indian youth are doing it now. When the American youth became hippies, there were hippies all over the world. And the American youth became Hare Krishna devotees. And Hare Krishna devotees sprung up all over the world. Prabhupada told us in San Francisco. He said, I am traveling all over the world. And everywhere I am seeing the skyscraper buildings constructed in imitation of your country. He said, "So if you all will dance and chant in the ecstasy of in the ecstasy of emotional love of God, then the whole world will follow you, and there will be no more trouble." So you can imagine what kind of kirtan the devotees had after that, hearing that lecture. Wow, what a kirtan that was. It was out there at the Ratha Yatra Festival. There was like 20,000 people there, and the devotees were on the stage, and they had the most incredible kirtan you can ever imagine. It's on video. Oh, awesome kirtan. So in this way, if we will take full advantage of the mercy of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, get ourselves fixed up as initiated disciples of a bona fide spiritual master, find some way to be a part of the ISKCON family, and always read Prabhupada's books, then our Krishna consciousness will take off like a rocket. And we will quickly become advanced devotees, free from the pain of neophyte bhakti. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Vandaring Vajanini Prabhu.
He has two questions.
All right, give me one at a time.
First question is that it seems there is a tangible difference between the early ISKCON when Prabhupada was on the planet and ISKCON today. So how can we bring about again the same glory of the early ISKCON?
In the beginning, Prabhupada's association was everything. Because no one knew anything about the philosophy. They didn't understand the philosophy in the beginning. You see, maybe you've seen that video. They interviewed the boys at 26 Second Avenue. They're laying around like it's some kind of an opium den or something, you know. And Gargamuni says, "Yeah, we're all gopis." And Kirtananda chastised him, no, we're not all gopis. So there wasn't a very, you know, there wasn't a lot of clear philosophical clarity in the early days. But there was one thing that was very, very clear to everyone. They knew that Swamiji loved them and they loved Swamiji. And that faith and that love for Swamiji, they called him Swamiji in the early days. That made everything go. And I spoke several days ago in my class here in Sofia. I remember in Austin, there was one little girl, just something like these little children here, like your daughter, a little tiny girl. And she had heard about Prabhupada. She didn't have any philosophical understanding, but she had heard about Prabhupada. And she, from the devotees. And just by hearing about Prabhupada, she used to go out and say, Prabhupada. With such feeling and bhakti, you know. And I just hearing this little girl go, Prabhupada. I was going, wow, who is this Prabhupada? I mean, I hadn't seen him, but I, you know, but just seeing just being with these people and hearing what they felt about Prabhupada, you get excited about this person, Prabhupada. So even though we were in a remote corner out in Austin, Texas, Prabhupada never came to Austin, although he did offer to come. Our temple president was scared to invite him. He was afraid of committing an apparat against the Jagat Guru. Actually, Prabhupada wrote me. He said he would come to Austin, but our temple president was scared to invite him. But there was Prabhupada. Everything was Prabhupada in those days. I mean, there was no internet. There was no emails. It was just telephone and regular, what we call snail mail now. That was how we communicated in those days. And but the word went around. What is Prabhupada? Where is he? What's he doing now? Devotees would. It was an incredible thing. Everything was just like in Goloka Vrindavan. Everybody's talking about Krishna. You know, what did he have in his lunch bag this morning? Oh my God! I get so enlivened sometimes. I forget I'm in Bulgaria. You know, I think I'm in Golok. Anyway, go ahead and try to summarize it. Krishna, you should have stopped me earlier. You know. So anyway, it was just like in Goloka Vrindavan, everybody's talking, what did Krishna have for his lunch this morning, you know? What demon did he kill this afternoon, you know? So in the same way that everybody was just thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, wondering when are I going to meet him, you know, everyone in Goloka, in the same way in the early days of ISKCON, it was like that. But instead of Krishna, it was Prabhupada, you see. When will I get to see him? Will he look at me? Will he notice me? Is there some service I can do for him? I remember one year during the Mayapur festival, a bunch of devotees went. I stayed back that year. And my godbrother, the one that was getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to chant his rounds before Mangal Arati, he stayed back also. But he made some rasagula and put it in a jar with the juice. And they took that to Mayapur and gave it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada took those rasagula. He said, rasagula is not a sweet, it's a tonic. And he requested more of those rasagulas. So my godbrother was so enlivened. There he was, you know, halfway around the world from Mayapur, there in Atlanta, Georgia. An order came from Prabhupada, I want more of those rasagulas. And he went into total bliss making more rasagulas and shipping them to India. And I also went into total bliss. I took my little notebook and I copied down the recipe. I still have that recipe, actually. So in this way, Prabhupada made, by his loving dealings with us, he created the most exciting festive atmosphere you can imagine, you know. I remember after I got my Brahman thread in 1975. See, in those days it was very strict. Unless you were a Brahman, you couldn't touch the fire in the kitchen. Now we've gotten really loose. We let anybody go in the kitchen and cook. But in those days, unless you were second initiated, forget it. You couldn't. You could cut vegetables, but you couldn't touch the stove. So to be allowed to cook for the deities, that was, wow, that was a big privilege, like, you know, like giving a Bhagavatam class. That was a big privilege to be able to cook for the deities. Only the senior devotees were allowed to do that, to cook for the devotees and for the deities both. Because everything the devotees took, it was offered to the deities first. So actually it was a great honor and a privilege to be the cook. And so I got my Brahman thread from Prabhupada on the appearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. I was all alone with him in the room. He put the Brahman thread over me, personally put it on me. He showed me how to count on my fingers and made sure I had it right. He had me demonstrate, and I wasn't sure, and he actually did it for me. He started doing it and showed me exactly how to do it, how to count and chant at the same time. He demonstrated it personally for me. And I went back to my temple I was from, Gainesville, Florida, and I was all excited. Now I'm a Brahmin, I can cook. So I was simply thinking, let me become very, very expert so that I can travel with Prabhupada and be his personal cook. And I sent some dakshin into Srila Prabhupada. And I said, I'm going to make a written offering also. I'm going to write 108 prayers. So I used to stay up at night. I had my service, but then I would just stay up in all hours of the night in complete bliss writing the 108 prayers. And I mailed those prayers to Prabhupada with my Guru Dakshina for Brahman initiation. So it was a very, very exciting time when you could have personal contact with the Shaktivesh avatar, who had been sent from Goloka Vrindavan to create a spiritual revolution on this planet. It was indescribably exciting, actually, time. So you're going to say, well, what about us now? Actually, I used to lament that why I didn't join at 26 Second Avenue. That was my greatest lament. I wasn't there at 26 Second Avenue at the very, very, very beginning. I mean, I joined 5 years later. Prabhupada was here for 11 years of ISKCON's history, from 1966 to 1977. I joined just before the middle, in 71, when the movement was just starting to take off like a rocket. In the beginning, it was just a small little thing. Just like we have a small group here in Sofia. That was the whole movement in the beginning. Just a little group like this in 26 Second Avenue. So from that little group, the thing became a huge worldwide movement. So that means that this group here can also expand into a huge movement of millions of people. All we have to do is connect with Srila Prabhupada. That's all we have to do. So do you think Prabhupada is dead and gone? That you cannot connect with him? No, Prabhupada is not dead and gone. Srila Prabhupada is right here, right now. And the same nectar that was experienced by the devotees in ISKCON when Prabhupada was here, you can taste the same exact nectar right now. If you become equally or even more devoted to following Prabhupada's instructions as they were. It's simply up to your bhakti. Do you want to become a sold-out servant of Prabhupada who'll do anything and everything to push forward his movement? If you are in that mood, you will feel Prabhupada's presence with you at every minute. You will never feel separated from Srila Prabhupada. So this is why I encourage everyone in the whole movement of ISKCON. Every one of you must take up this mood of being a spiritual revolutionary. That you want to dedicate your every moment for your entire life on this planet to making this movement a success. You have two goals and two goals only. Become a pure devotee of the Lord and to revolutionize this planet. That's it. No other business. Become a pure devotee and revolutionize the planet for Prabhupada. If you have that spirit, Prabhupada will shower his mercy upon you at every minute in unbelievable torrents of nectar. He will overflow your heart with so much nectar that nectar can flow through your heart and fill up the entire universe. You just have to agree to be an instrument in the hands of Srila Prabhupada, that's all. Through the agency of your spiritual master, because he connects you with Prabhupada. So, what was the second question?
There are some people who are very inclined
to some so-called spiritual society.
to some so-called spiritual societies, others than ISKCON.
People are inclined to other so-called spiritual societies?
To so-called spiritual societies other than ISKCON.
Yes, yes.
And to some so-called gurus who were previously in ISKCON.
And to some so-called gurus who were previously in ISKCON.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because they say that ISKCON doesn't supply them with facilities to preach.
And who left because they said that ISKCON does not supply them with facilities to preach.
Or don't support their preaching. Or does not support their preaching efforts. So how to explain to those people who support such so-called gurus that it's not that we are fanatics, but that people are just not bona fide?
So how to explain to those kind of people that we are not fanatics, but it's them who are not bona fides?
Well, you can say anything, but your example will speak louder than anything else.
Ти може да им кажеш каквото пожелаеш, но най-добре ще говори твоя пример.
Politicians can say anything.
Политиците могат да кажат много неща.
But an acharya actually shows by his example.
Един ачарья той показва със своя пример.
So we have to show by our example.
Така че ние трябва да покажем със своя пример.
Then in our society we facilitate everyone for pushing forward this movement.
Нашето общество ние даваме възможност на всеки да разпространява това
движение. Demonstrate that. ISKCON means a place where every single member of ISKCON becomes empowered preacher. That's the meaning of ISKCON.
Не можем да го демонстрираме. ISKCON означава всеки негов член да стане упълномощен проповедник. Това е ISKCON.
ISKCON should be a place where everyone becomes empowered for pushing for this movement. Where they're encouraged to become dynamic representatives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Където те са окружавани да станат динамични проповедници, представители на Шри Чайтанья
Махапрабху. That's the real meaning of ISKCON.
Това е истинското значение на ISKCON.
As I explained last night, Prabhupada said that anyone who becomes pure and chanting, they become Jagat Guru and they can inspire the whole world to chant Hare Krishna.
Както вчера обясних, когато Прабхупада каза, че ако дори само един човек да стане чист в своето
So the ISKCON manager should not simply think, how can I get the work done by engaging these people and getting all this work done? They should be thinking, how can I engage this person in such a way that he becomes completely free from all the namaparad, so he becomes fully empowered for pushing forward this movement. That's how the GBC should be operating. That's how the temple president should be operating. That's how the spiritual master should be operating. How can I engage this disciple or this member of ISKCON in such a way that they become completely free from all the namaparad, so they become fully empowered for pushing forward this movement? Someone may argue, but that we don't want too many preachers. There'll be too much conflict. Better to have a few preachers and mostly workers. But that's not what Prabhupada wanted. The proof is his lecture he gave in Mayapur, which is also one of my favorite quotes. That now we are 10,000, then we will grow to 100,000, then we will grow to 1 million, and then we will grow to 10 million, and there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So where are we going to get these 10 million acharyas? Are we going to import them from India? On an R1 visa? That's a joke in America. In America, they bring pujaris in with R1 visas. Because they can't inspire the American people to be pujaris anymore. They bring pujaris in from India, and then they, as soon as they get their legal status, they bloop and they become, you know, get American citizens, become karmis in America. It's a big problem in the U.S. right now. So the point is, where are we going to get these acharyas, these 10 million acharyas? Well, I'm going to tell you where we're going to get them. We're going to start right here in this room. You see, especially my I have power of authority over my disciples. I'm ordering all of my disciples to become acharyas. And those of you who are not my disciples, I'm humbly begging you to become acharya. Become living embodiments of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. That your every thought, word, and deed should be Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Become fully empowered with Krishna Bhakti. So that you can preach to everyone you meet. When I fly in the air, I see other devotees, when they fly in the airplane, they put on karmic clothes and they wipe off their tila. When I fly in the airplane, I go in a dhoti with a shaved head and tila. And people say, "What's that on your forehead?" I said, "This is the sign of someone who was conquered over death." And if you like, I will teach you how to conquer over death. And I give him my card with the URL, www.backtohome.com. Tell him to sign up for my e-course. So everyone should be very aggressive for making devotees. Do you realize if each ISKCON devotee could only make one devotee? If every ISKCON member can simply just make one devotee, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. You may say, how is that possible? But if you make a devotee who makes 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 a devotee in this way, the whole world will become Krishna conscious. So my desire for each and every one of you is to inspire you in such a way that you can make devotees who can make devotees who will make devotees. Because if I can inspire you in that way, then this movement will take off like a rocket here in Bulgaria. That's a fact. Bulgaria can lead the whole ISKCON world, actually. There's no reason it can. It's simply, what do you want? Do you want eating, sleeping, mating, and defending? Or do you want pure devotional service? What do you want? You make your decision. If you want pure devotional service, I'm prepared to train you. And if you're more interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, well, the airport is not very far away from here. I'm telling you honestly. I can easily get on the plane and fly somewhere else. How much you want pure devotional service, that will attract me to be here, spend time with you. Next question. Yeah.
is the external sign or symptom of a person who is externally doing the activities in Krishna consciousness, but in his heart he is not submitting himself to the supremacy of the Lord.
In his heart he's not what?
He is not accepting the supremacy of the Lord.
The face will be morose. The face is the index of the mind. The anxiety, they'll have anxiety written all over their face. They won't be effulgent, they'll have a dark face. Someone is actually Krishna conscious, they're like a walking sun. Just like when I first went to Finland, to Helsinki. They have the most fired up temple in the whole world for preaching. And I made one video of the Helsinki devotees. And I put it on television in the US. It was called The Brilliant Suns in the Land of the Finns. Because these devotees, they go out every day and they distribute books the whole day long in complete ecstasy. Everybody comes for Mangalarti, Japa, Bhagavatam, Guru Puja, breakfast. Every single member of the temple is together for these activities. And they go out all day distributing books and distributing prasadam. And they come home in the evening and they for ecstatic Gaura Arti and Bhagavad Gita class. And they take rest at night dreaming of wonderful Krishna conscious dreams. And they're like suns. I love going to that temple. Like it's like charging my spiritual batteries when I go there. They are bright faced. They're not morose. So you can easily see if somebody's pure. You can see by someone's face whether they're holding on their anartas or they're letting go of their anartas. Especially the spiritual master can see his disciple's face and know. You can't hide your anartas from your guru. Krishna empowers your guru to look inside your heart and see what's in there. So you might as well just surrender. You can't fake it with the spiritual master. He knows what's going on inside your heart. You might as well just fully surrender. Gurudev, all right, I'm your servant forever. That's it. I have no other business, no other duty. I have no other desire except to serve you eternally. You might as well just take that move. Because he can see all the other dirt that's in there. And he doesn't like it. Because he knows it's causing you pain and anxiety. So he's doing everything he can to help you get free of that dirt. Any other questions? All right. Let him, Krishna Chetra asks, he doesn't ask one yet.
Казват, ние сме в християнска страна, ти, нали, какво искаш, какво искаш да ни проповядваш? Нали, аз ти предложих им Бхагавад Гита и така нататък. И след това, нали, започнах да им говоря за Кришна, че той е върховния, че той е бащата, нали, на Исус Христос и така нататък. Но така или иначе, нали, те се опитваха да ми говорят за Исус Христос в Библията, аз се опитвах да им говоря за Исус, за Кришна и Кришна съзнание. И накрая ми дадах им тук брошури, нали, за храма, но не ги виждам тук в храма, но те в банки, сигурно и недалече. Но така или иначе, как да се отнасям към такива хора, които не са така, просто нямат представа за как спят точно нещата, но как да им проповядаме на такива хора.
When we are distributing books in meetings, for example, some Christians who does not have a clear idea what is in our books, so what should we do, how we should preach to them? And
well, you have to rely on the supercell to help you, isn't it? You have to somehow... Krishna is in their heart, okay? And Krishna is in your heart, right? So you have to somehow or other connect the two Krishnas. You see, the Krishna is in your heart and Krishna is in their heart. You have to somehow bridge the gap through all the contaminations of those two Krishnas, connect, you see? You have to be creative and beg Krishna to help you. My dear Lord, please give me some words to say that will help this person to become inspired to take this book. I would have fun with it if I were you. I would you know, say Jesus loves you. He wants you to have this book. I mean, Jesus is a pure devotee. When Jesus comes again, when the second coming of Jesus, how do you think he will come back? He will come back with Vaishnava Tilak. He will chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Christ is a pure devotee of Krishna. We have nothing against Christianity. The problem is they don't follow it. Christ was a vegetarian. He was angry that he started his Christian movement because they were killing the animals in the temple. He couldn't tolerate to see the cruelty of the animals. He was a part of a group known as the Essenes, and they were strict vegetarians. The modern day Bible is not the original teachings of Christ. It was adulterated later on to attract the Roman emperor to join the Christian movement, who was a meat eater. There was one gospel which was not rewritten, and that was preserved in a Tibetan monastery, actually. I have it posted on the internet if you want to read that scripture. It's in English, but it's called the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. Simply go to www.turnonyoursoul.com/Jesus, lowercase Jesus, Jesus. And you can read a Christian gospel which was not tampered with by the meat eaters. Christ was actually a pure Vaishnava. He went to India. He met with the Brahmins. He had the darshan of Jagannath. But he preached in Israel according to what the people could handle only. In the book of John, he told them, I have more to tell you, but you're not ready to hear it yet. Whatever little bit he did reveal, they nailed into a cross. So now that more that Christ was going to give them, now you can give them. Actually, anyone who follows Krishna is the true representative of Lord Jesus also. You can teach them how to become a real Christian. So, I guess that's it. We're going a little over time tonight. So, we thank you all very much. Do they know what that means? They don't need to make, that doesn't need to be translated. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.